Today, a blackout struck most of the country of Italy, a power outage that apparently rivaled the size of the recent blackout in the eastern United States. As we've been reporting throughout the day, it affected up to 57 million Italians. The lights went out over the ruins of ancient Rome and in the Vatican. And, by the way, in the home of BBC reporter David Willey, who joins us now from Rome. Mr. Willey, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So the power's back on?
We have power tonight in Rome, and most of Italy is back on power, although I've just been listening to the latest report from Sicily, for example. Only 40% of Sicilians have still got power, and I think the figure is something like 90% in Rome. The major industrial cities of Turin and Milan have more or less 100% power.
Now, this happened during the night. Can you just describe what kind of a night you had in Rome?
Well, I personally was fast asleep. It didn't really matter to me, but many tens of thousands of people in Rome were having a great night out. The mayor decided that they were going to have what they called a white night. All the shops were going to stay open, and there were to be street performances, and a good time was to be had by all. The cafes all remain open through the night, and suddenly at 3:30 in the morning, all the lights went out. At first of all, people thought it was some sort of joke, but then they realized that it was no joke at all, and many revelers were stranded. They were sleeping in the street, and they were sleeping in the subway stations. Thousands and thousands of travelers were stranded. The most serious case, of course, was those who were on trains in the middle of the night, because the trains rolled to a halt, and hundreds of people had to be rescued from the underground railway in Rome. It was a tough call.
Now, when there was this huge blackout in the United States, there were initial reports, which have since been corrected, tracing the origin of the blackout to Canada, and it briefly caused some cross-border accusations back and forth. I gather there is a cross-border accusation here as well.
You're right. The Italians, first of all, from the morning onwards, began blaming the French. They said that there had been a power failure in two lines, high-tension lines, which link France and Italy. The Italians buy power from the French. Well, both of these high-tension lines went out of action at the same time, and the Italians began blaming the French, who replied that it was absolutely nothing to do with them, and perhaps it was due to the Swiss, from whom the Italians also take power. Well, the Swiss were also pretty frosty, and they said no, it was they did have storms in the southern part of the country during the night, but basically we still don't have a completely satisfactory explanation of what did go wrong.
David Willey is a BBC reporter in Rome. And Mr. Willey, I want to ask you about another story that's developing this weekend on a subject that I know you cover a lot. Pope John Paul II there in Rome has appointed 31 new cardinals. Now, if anybody actually saw white smoke rising from the Vatican, that would not mean anything really significant, just that they were lighting a few candles, I guess, in the dark. But nevertheless, there's some significance to this announcement, right?
Well, there is indeed. That we didn't expect this announcement really till early next year.
So the Pope is in the process of naming the cardinals who will ultimately vote on the Pope's successor when that time comes. And there were some interesting choices, I gather, among the American archbishops who could or could not have been named cardinals.
Well, there was some surprise that the new Archbishop of Boston, who replaced Cardinal Law, who you'll remember resigned over the paedophile priests scandal, didn't get his red hat. But the conferring of a red hat, the promotion to the rank of a prince of the Roman Catholic Church, is not something that is absolutely automatic.
And people are always watching the Catholic Church for signs as to its future direction. Will it continue on a conservative course? Will it move in a more liberal course? Do these selections offer any hints?
Most of the people who've been promoted by the Pope are clearly in tune with his way of thinking, and I suppose, broadly speaking, could be described as conservatives. But, you know, perhaps a more interesting division is to look at whether they are in tune with the thinking of the rich world or of the poor world. In other words, the north-south divide. What is interesting is that there are a lot of new cardinals from the developing world, from Sudan, from Ghana, from Nigeria, from India there's a new cardinal, from Asia. So I think the Pope is very aware of the fact that the majority of his flock now is not in where the Catholic religion used to have its power centre here in old Europe. Europe, but in the New World, in the Americas, and in the developing world, in Asia and in Africa.
David Willey is a correspondent for the BBC in Rome. Mr. Willey, I'm glad to hear that you can get your cup of espresso again tonight.
Thank you very much.